Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Michiganians may have passed a measure 5 years ago banning the use of sex and race-based preference in public education and other public arenas, but a federal appeals court recently called that ban unconstitutional. What will that mean for state institutions, and is the court correct in its decision? Joining me now, Butch Hollowell, general counsel for the Detroit NAACP, who was involved in the initial court case following the passage of Proposal 2 in 2006. Welcome to the show, Butch.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Now, Attorney General Bill Schuette is appealing this most recent decision. He says, quote, America is all about equal opportunity under the law, and that entrance to our great universities must be based upon merit. How is that not a reasonable position?
It is a reasonable position. I think it just depends on how you define merit. What we've determined is that over the years, every study shows that more diverse classrooms are more excellent classrooms. So what we're saying is that universities have traditionally had broad latitude to have a diverse classrooms. And that doesn't just include children of color. It's traditionally included points given to veterans, legacies, athletes, those who come from farming communities, those who come from other areas, for example, of the upper underrepresented, like the Upper Peninsula. So there are a number of tools that the universities have employed to make sure that they get a broad range of views in these classrooms. And, you know, I mean, classrooms are dynamic, and so the more dynamic, the better the outcome. What the Court of Appeals was saying is that you can't single out students of color and make it more difficult for them while you have these other programs that are in place. So that's unfair is what the court is saying.
Now, what would you say to a student who missed their chance to go to an elite school because of preferential admissions policies, specifically those that involve sex and race?
Well, they don't have preferential policies. So what they do is they can look at a number of factors. And so let's say that student that you were talking about, maybe they were really good in music, and they got a couple of points because of that. So it's not a zero-sum game, as I think this kind of case has been misunderstood in that way. It doesn't even require the universities to use race. What it says is that you can use it as a factor in a number of factors. And one of the things that we now know is that U.S. News and World Report has begun ranking the best colleges and universities in terms of diversity. And Michigan is now one of only four states, or it was until the court ruling, that had a ban on being able to have the most diverse classroom. And this is troubling to employers. So it's not just an academic excellence issue, which we want our schools to continue to be the best, but it's an employment issue because the best employers have filed briefs in the case saying, look, we want to hire from colleges and universities that have the best students, the most diverse classrooms.
Mm-hmm. Now, how would you explain that almost 60% of state voters in 2006 supported Proposal 2? Were they clear on what the measure entailed?
I don't think so. I think there's a lot of misinformation in that. So it did pass by that margin. But, you know, I think the court was very clear in what it was saying is that if you're going to have plus factors, that's what they're called. You know, for example, I went to the University of Detroit Jesuit High School. I know that's one of the schools that the best universities like, so they give you a plus factor for that. And I've got a buddy, you know, who played at U of M on the football team. If you do that, you get a plus factor. What the court was saying is that if you're going to have plus factors for these other things, then you can't just deny them just because a student is of color. It's got to be fair across the board. And, I have to say, you know, when I was a student at Albion College, I had never really gotten to know anybody from a farming community. And we had lots of those who came from there on my hall and classes. And it was, I became a more well-rounded individual, I think, for being in class with people of different backgrounds. I think it's All the studies show that it's a good thing, and the court recognized this as well.
I'm talking to Butch Hollowell, general counsel for the Detroit NAACP. Now, the initial case that prompted Proposal 2 involved a student applying for admission at the University of Michigan. Since Proposal 2 was passed, the number of African-American, Hispanic, and Native American students enrolled in the freshman class at U of M has declined a little over 11%. Isn't that a fairly minor drop, and doesn't that argue against the need for preferential admissions policies?
Again, it's not preferential, since there are plus factors that are used for lots of different categories, not just students of color. And yes, we've seen a pretty dramatic drop in the number of admissions. We've seen 11% in direct admissions. And then indirectly, the data indicates that the best students of color are now deciding to go to other universities that are demonstrating more of a commitment to diversity. So they'll go to Harvard or Princeton instead of going to U of M. And we want to have our universities being, again, the very, very best. So what this does is it takes the handcuffs off of Michigan institutions and allows for academic excellence. And it also elevates us so that our employers who want to hire students go attend these diverse institutions to get these new jobs. And we all need new jobs.
Well, in 2003, the Supreme Court ruled that the University of Michigan Law School could continue certain affirmative action guidelines, even as it struck down the stricter affirmative action policies that had been used by U of M's undergraduate admissions. Are you concerned that if the court reviews this case, the results could be different this time?
It's hard to do court predicting. You're so right. In the first case, in the Graff case, they ruled that the rigid use of race as a criteria that was being used by undergrad, that was not constitutional. But it found that the flex factor being used by the law school, the U of M Law School, was constitutional. And again, so that has served as a model for not just Michigan universities, but for other universities in terms of taking into account a number of factors. And again, they don't have to take that into account, but they can... Now that the Proposal 2 has been defeated at the court level.
Jennifer Gratz, whose 1997 lawsuit over the University of Michigan's admissions policies led to one of the 2003 Supreme Court rulings, says, quote, judges don't get to legislate from the bench and overturn the will of the people. Isn't that, in fact, what's happening here, though?
No, I think this was a very narrow ruling. What it did is it looked at these two very important cases, Hunter versus Seattle, as well as the Seattle School District case, and it said that you can't single out a particular group for harsher treatment, which is what Proposal 2 did. It says that, for example, if they were to eliminate plus factors for every group, then maybe that would be fair, but they have these programs and continue to have them. And so, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
And if Proposal 2 wasn't in front of voters today here in Michigan, do you suspect it would once again be passed?
I don't know. You know, I think that, what we found is that in the 2010 census, Michigan was the only state to have lost population. However, what did happen pretty dramatically is that it became a much more diverse state as America has become a more diverse country. And so our universities should reflect that as well. This is the future, and we ought to embrace that future. It's good for our employment, it's good for academics, and it's good for Michigan.
Now that the Attorney General is appealing the case, do you expect the Supreme Court to address the matter?
Well, it's really interesting. We think, will be asking the United States Court of Appeals to rehear the case, and maybe with all of the judges. The past decision, most recent decision, was by a 2-1 margin in the panel. So we think that the Attorney General may ask for the entire court, and there are 16 judges on the Sixth Circuit, which includes Michigan, Ohio, Tennessee, and Kentucky. If they do grant it, and your question is this something that could possibly go to the U.S. Supreme Court? Yes, it is. The U.S. Supreme Court has looked at Michigan schools and universities in particular on these kinds of issues traditionally. So that would not surprise me.
Butch Hollowell, General Counsel for the Detroit NAACP. Thank you for joining me.
It's a pleasure to have been here. Thank you.
We'll be right back. I'm Michael Cohen, and you're listening to the Capital City Recap, and this is 1320.